Okay, welcome, women. It's so good to have so many of you here tonight. Welcome to Ladies' Night, especially for you guys who are here for the first time. My name is Krista Whitney. I'm the wife of Josh Whitney, one of our pastors here at The Rock. This year, we are continuing our theme on foundations of a biblical woman. So last year was such an encouraging year. I encourage you guys, if you missed any of those teachings, they're all online under our special messages. You guys should go back and listen to them. And in the last teaching we had last year, Tiffany talked to us about practicing hospitality over the summer. So I trust you all were able to enjoy sweet fellowship with one another over the summer. And we're thankful to all be back together tonight. So as pastors' wives, we talked about where to start this year, the heart of a biblical woman. And so we wanted to be able to talk about that. And I am going to start with my first verse here, Proverbs 4:23. It says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from, or for from your heart come the sources of life. So we're going to spend the year talking about the practical applications for a biblical woman, but we don't want to be women that just give the appearance of a good impression on the outside, right? We want to be women that have a right heart towards the Lord so that everything we do springs forth and flows out of that right heart. So what should the posture be of our heart to be the woman that God calls us to be? We're going to talk about having a yielded heart. So tonight we're going to talk about this submissive heart, a heart that yields itself, our will, our desires, and our lives to King Jesus. And I was thinking as we were singing this song, give me Jesus. Tonight we are talking about how to have the heart of Jesus, how to have that yielded heart towards the Lord. And that's foundational for us to consider because the topics that we're going to talk about this year, some of you might be excited about. But some of them are going to cut across your own will and desires and the way that you're going to have to make a choice about whether or not you will live under God's authority by submitting to his word. Submission to the Lord is a choice, and it's a battle for us every single day. I faced it many times today. Will I obey Jesus? Will I submit to God? Our natural inclination is to go our own way, and James 4 talks about our desires. They're at war within us, and here's my passage we're going to talk about, James 4, verse 7 and 8. It says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. So God calls us to live this life of submission to him and his ways. And that is where we find life, joy, peace, and we can live a life that pleases God. So let's pray, and we're going to talk about more having this submissive heart towards the Lord. God, thank you so much for tonight. I thank you for each of these women here, Lord. We pray that you would just give us ears to hear and eyes to see and hearts to understand and obey your truth, God. I pray that you would just speak your truth through me. God, help these women to really be encouraged in what you have for them and for tonight and both for the rest of the year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So James tells us we should not follow the desires of our flesh, but we should instead submit ourselves to God. So submission, if you haven't heard it defined before, it means to place oneself under, to be under God's arrangement. So this is biblical submission. It means to obey and to be subject to. So submission is the yielding of our own will to the will of God. It's living a life of obedience to God. It is an inward heart attitude that's demonstrated in the way we live. And to understand it, we need to also understand authority because we are all placing ourselves under someone's arrangement, right? We're being subject to some authority. So authority is the right and power to influence or command thought, opinion, or behavior. So our culture would say we have this right within ourselves, right? One author I read says, you are the author of your own story. And another said, you are meant to be the hero of your own story. So our world would say that you, with your own right and power, can create whatever life you want for yourself because you're your own authority. So you determine what's true, what's good, what's right. There's no standard outside of yourself. That's kind of our cultural narrative right now here in America. But as biblical women, we need to know, and we know from Genesis, who created this world. It was God, right? This is God's world. It's not our world. Colossians says, all things were created through him and for him. right? So God alone as the creator has the right to rule this world. And we know from looking at creation and from the word that God also has the power to rule his word. This verse right here in Isaiah, my purpose will stand and I will do all that I please. So in a biblical worldview, God is the creator and ruler of our world. He is our authority, and we demonstrate that we actually believe and trust in his loving authority, and we honor it by choosing to live a life of submission and obedience to him and to his word. So what does that look like for us? Jesus, of course, is our example of living in humble obedience to the will of the Father. And I'm reading John right now, and it is full of examples of Jesus submitting his will. So John 4, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. John 5, I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. John 6, Jesus says, I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. John 8, I always do the things that are pleasing to him. And then Matthew 26, this is in the Garden of Gethsemane, at the end of Jesus' life, he says, let this cup pass, yet not as I will, but as you will. So Jesus is our perfect example of submitting his will to the will of the Father. And he calls us to live a life submitted to him in humble obedience. So James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. John 14, Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey my commands. And obedience is really it just means submission to God's commands. Who's in authority over us. John 15, it says, if you keep my commands, you will abide in my love just as I have kept my Father's commands. So I don't know about you, but that doesn't come naturally for me to do the will of God. I am regularly and acutely aware of my own desires going against the will of God. And Paul Tripp, a pastor and author, talks about this root struggle that he faces. This is in a parenting book, so he addresses it to children. But I think it applies to all of us. He says, there is no more important heart issue for every child ever born than the issue of authority. Your children must learn early that they have been born into a world of authority and they are not it. Why is this so important? Because submission to authority that is not me is unnatural for any sinner. Sin makes us want our own way. Sin makes us want to set our own rules. Sin convinces us all that we know better. Sin causes me to want to do what I want to do, when and how I want to do it. Sin makes me resist being told to do by another. Sin really does insert me in the center of my world, the one place I must never be, because it is the place for God and God alone. Now, our culture would not call this desire to do our own will in defiance of God's will sin, would they? Our culture glorifies putting your own will first. Let me read you a couple authors of our time that would claim to be followers of Christ, but I think you'll see in what they say who they're actually following. Rachel Hollis, an author and motivational speaker, says in Girl, Wash Your Face, you should be the very first of your priorities. That's right, girls. Follow your heart. Put yourself first. Be your authentic self. Do what makes you happy, because I'm sure God just wants you to be happy, right? Well, Glennon Doyle, another author, she's a New York Times number one bestselling author, podcaster, and honestly a significant influencer of women in our time. She says, we do not need more selfless women. What we need right now is more women who have detoxed themselves so completely from the world's expectations that they are full of nothing but themselves. A woman who is full of herself knows and trusts herself enough to say and do what must be done. She lets the rest burn. So while I agree that we don't live to meet the world's expectations of us, is the answer to be full of ourselves? This author, in fact, has something else to say about the first woman who chose not to live under God's authority or in submission to God's will. She has something to say about Eve. She says, maybe Eve was never meant to be our warning. Maybe she was meant to be our model. Own your wanting, eat the apple. That's a bit jarring to hear, right? But it really shouldn't be, because the message of being true to yourself and trusting yourself and your own desires is really just sin inserting us in the center of our world, thinking that we know better than God what is best for us. But God calls us to a radically different path as biblical women. He calls us not to pursue our own wanting, but to submit ourselves to God, as James says. And as we do, we grow in our faith and we grow in a relationship with God. And he gives us a greater desire not to please ourselves, but to please him. I have been praying regularly that God would give me this greater desire to please him. because I've been struck by how often I just make choices to please myself each day. So do you feel hindered at all in your spiritual growth? St. John of the Cross says, unless you renounce and subjugate your own will, unless you forget yourself and all that pertains to yourself, not one step will you advance. And I think that's sobering, but fortunately, Jesus tells us the path of spiritual growth is by submission to God and God's word. He says in John 13, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do one. Luke 11, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. And then in James, the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If we want to live a blessed life, a happy life, we have to be women under authority, submitting our will to the will of God by living in obedience to him. We went through a book with the youth group gals this summer called The Woman After God's Own Heart, A Young Woman After God's Own Heart. And in the book, Elizabeth George has this to say about submission. She says, submission is a challenge straight from God to you. It's a measure of your spiritual maturity because no one else can make you submit to anyone else. You must choose to do it yourself. So submission is at the heart of a mature Christian's life. And God gives us many different examples of where we're called to submit as Christians and place ourselves under God's arrangement. Brian actually talked about submission, right? If you were here this weekend, Titus 3, he talked about being submissive to rulers and authorities yesterday, or at the end of Titus 2, I guess. So here's a list of who we're called to submit to in the Word of God. The first one we talked about, submit to God, submit to God's Word, we submit to each other, we submit to our pastors. A wife submits to her husband, employee submits to their boss. I just got a new job recently, and I was reading the offenses that you could be fired for, and one of them was insubordination, which really just means not being submissive to the people that are over you in your job, right? And God calls us to that. We're to submit to our boss. We're called to submit to our government, and then children are called to submit to their parents. So submission is a choice to obey God, to live under his authority. And to do this, we have to remember whose we are. It says, you are not your own. You were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. We have been purchased, women, by the blood of Christ, and we are not our own like the world would want us to think. We belong to another. At salvation, we die to our old selves, our old thoughts, our old ways, and to sin when we come before the Lord in repentance and faith. This is the first step of submission to the will of God. So do you know him personally? Do you know Jesus personally as your Savior? Have you acknowledged before him that you have gone your own way and you want to turn towards Jesus in repentance and faith? I would encourage you, if you have not taken that step, may today be the day of salvation where you submit your life to Christ. And for those of us that do know Jesus, why did he die for us? I don't have it on a slide, but 2 Corinthians 5:15 said, he died for all that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. So God died for us that we might live for him. So what steps can we take on a daily basis to learn to have this submissive heart towards the Lord? Matthew has three steps for us, pretty simple. Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet forfeits his own soul? So the three steps there that Jesus gives us in living a life of submission to God. The first for us is to give up your right to yourself, to deny yourself. Remember, sin inserts us in the center of our world, but Christ calls us to die to ourselves. Denial of self is an hour-by-hour, minute-by-minute choice. One author I read said, when the will of God cuts across the will of man, somebody has to die. It's an opportunity for us to deny ourselves. Second thing Jesus said there, take up your cross. Taking up your cross, that means being willing to do hard things, to suffer. None of us like making our lives hard, right? But we aren't just women of the culture that follow our feelings, right? We are God's people, Jesus' people, women of the cross, and he calls us to be willing to do hard things, things that can be the opposite of often what we feel. You know, many times I don't feel like forgiving someone. Often I don't feel like loving someone. Rarely do I ever feel like submitting to my husband. And Brian this weekend talked about being gentle and showing perfect courtesy to everyone. That is not how I feel frequently, right? But God calls us to deny ourselves and take up our cross. And I like this quote from Don Newman. He says, "The taking up of the cross is no great action done once for all, but the continual daily practice of small duties which are distasteful to us." So what small duties do you have that are distasteful to you where you can take up your cross? And then the third thing, follow Jesus. We want to do what God says to do today. We don't need to make submission to the will of God complicated. It's a simple choice that we can make every hour of the day. Whatever God has shown us to do, that's what we need to do. And the quicker we make the choice to obey, the easier it becomes for us. Delayed obedience is oftentimes disobedience, so we need to be quick to obey God. And as we walk in humble submission to God and obey his ways, we have to think about our attitude in all of these things, right? Because we know very well we can do the right thing on the inside or on the outside, but on the inside, we might have a very sinful heart, one that's not submissive and under God's rule. Maybe our body is obedient, but our attitude reflects a disobedient heart. And a heart that wants to go its way and, you know, and we don't want to be interrupted or inconvenienced or feel obligated to do something we don't want to do, this bad attitude is actually disobedience because God does indeed see our heart. So James 4:7 sounds rather simple, right? Submit yourselves there for God. And it is simple, but it's not easy. So we need the Holy Spirit's help to build this habit of yielding ourselves, our will, and our desires to the Lord. 2 Peter, this is one of my favorite verses as a Christian that I think of probably most days of my life because I so need this. It says, "His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness." Everything we need for life and godliness. It is always possible to do the will of God. God's commandment is his enablement. So I want to tell you about the calendar for the rest of the year so that you can know what we have ahead. And then I'll wrap it up. But in October, Ashley is going to talk to us about being in right relationship with God through our personal time with him, our one-on-one relationship with God. In November, we're going to have a discipleship panel, so that will be fun. A lot of people asked about discipleship, so we're going to address this subject and do a panel so you guys can kind of look at what that looks like through all the ages and stages of life. December, we're going to do some prayer and worship and a cookie exchange again. And January, we're going to talk about living a life of purity before the Lord. February, this is exciting, we're doing a Valentine's tea, yay, I know, it will be so much fun, you can all dress up and come enjoy each other. March, Mary's going to talk about a fun one, how to be in right relationship with one another, and if you read the beginning of James 4, you know it is not easy to be in right relationship with one another. She's going to talk about that battle and how to obey God in that. And then April, we're going to talk about being a woman of wisdom and discernment. So some of those topics that we talk about this year, you might be excited about. And some of what's going to be shared is going to cut across your own will. And you will have to make a choice about whether or not you want to live under God's authority by submitting to the truth and instruction that God gives us in his word about our relationship with God personally, our relationship with other people, about purity, a lot of subjects. So we need to pray and ask God to give us a submissive and humble heart this year to really receive his truth and be able to walk in obedience to him. God, thank you for tonight. I thank you for all these women that you brought here, God. I thank you that you're sovereign over each woman and bringing here and just the time that we had together, God, just in fellowship and worship. We thank you for that, God. We thank you for your son, Jesus, God. We thank you for his example of submitting his life to you, Lord. We know that we have life because, Jesus, you gave your life for us, Lord. You submitted your will to the Father's and took the death that we deserved and paid the price, God, that we owed. So we thank you for yielding your will to the Father and giving yourself for us, God, that you died for us, that we might live for you, God. We pray that you would help us to follow your example, that we would deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow you each day. God, give us even an opportunity to do that tonight. God, that we could just see your hand in what you bring into our lives and make those choices to take up our cross and follow you. God, we thank you that it is only by your Spirit that we can walk with you. God, we pray that we would rely on your divine power, God, that we would not trust in ourselves or our own strength, God, that you have given us your divine power for everything we need for life and godliness. God, help us to walk in that tonight and the rest of the week. God, we pray that you would just bless these ladies tonight, that each one of these women here would continue to come back and to learn and to grow. God, we love you. We want to be more like you each day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.